On the show today, we have Peer IT Credit Union Services' very own Jack Smith and Data Canopy's Ryan Barbera talking about their partnership, which really enhances the Credit Union's cloud migration, disaster recovery, the whole nine yards. So check it out. Before we get into our interview, I just want to give you a quick heads up on our CU Knowledge Hub page. It is our page that's just loaded with free downloadable content, which includes white papers, webinars, product guides, case studies, industry analysis, and a whole lot more. And it's all provided by experts and vendors within the credit union industry. So go check it out today. That's CU Knowledge Hub. And now on to the interview. Hey, everybody. Mike Lawson here with CU Broadcast. Welcome to our show. And on today's program, we have Mr. Jack Smith from Peer IT Credit Union Services right there next to me. Jack, how you doing?
I'm doing great. Thank you.
You're welcome. You're very welcome. And then right below us is Mr. Ryan Barbera from Data Canopy. Ryan, how are you, sir?
Wonderful. Thanks for having me.
Oh, you're very welcome. You're very welcome. Thanks, guys, for taking time out of your busy days to chat with us today about this really cool partnership that you guys got going. And Jack, I'm going to start with you first. So give us a quick kind of lay of the land here from Peer IT's perspective on this partnership. And then Ryan, I'll ask you the same thing from your perspective as well. So Jack?
Sure. So we, as you know, Mike, we do a lot of engagements with credit unions where we architect really their whole technology path forward. And part of that is looking at data centers, looking at the cloud, looking at opportunities to have disaster recovery or production outside of the four walls of the credit union. Because really, in all honesty, it's kind of like going to a bank, right? Or a credit union. When you go there, you use a safety deposit box to keep your money safe in another location, right? It's the same thing with disaster recovery or your production environment from an IT perspective. Mm-hmm. We advise a lot of credit unions that you need to go outside your four walls. You need to go to a place that's actually got the power, the cooling, that's compliant, that's secure, that's using biometrics, all these different things to house your infrastructure and your data. So it's just like going to a credit union or a bank for a safety deposit box, right? You're going to a data center. And so in that process of doing these designs and looking, and we always say we're vendor neutral, and we are. And so we're trying to find really good partners that offer extremely competitive pricing in different aspects of IT. And one of those is data center and hosting and co-location. And we came across Data Canopy, and we were so blown away by their business model that we started bringing them into the conversation with credit unions when they're looking for outside space. Because quite frankly, the thing that's really cool, and I don't want to talk about it. I want to let Ryan talk about his awesome company. But they really do a fantastic job of lowering that cost based on your actual footprint for a data center. And so with that, I'll stop. But that's really how the partnership started. We were looking for low-cost data center solutions for credit unions, and we came across Data Canopy.
Right on. And Ryan, it sounds like Jack has kind of teed you up here. So tell us a little bit about Data Canopy, and then how do you guys got together here?
No, I appreciate it. So, and Jack, thank you. I'm going to let everybody down now, but that was great. And Data Canopy at its core is an infrastructure as a service firm. And really what that means is exactly what Jack said, which is we take all of those components that you might have living in a closet somewhere, and we put them either into a data center or to our cloud and make them scalable. We make them on-demand available. We make sure that we're helping people meet their mission in terms of what they're trying to do with technology. And then we really make sure that we're doing that with cost in mind, because as we know today, you can spend an enormous amount of dollars on technology. So we always like to say if it's regulated or complicated, that's the space that that we really work in. You know, as far as the partnership goes, you know, I've been working personally with credit unions for nearly two decades.
Oh, wow.
And we focus very heavily in financial services in general. And so Jack and I were introduced through actually one of my associates here at Data Canopy, and it was a bit of a bromance right out of the gates. I think that we had a lot in common in terms of the way that we view the industry as a whole, and in terms of what we want to do to help credit unions really meet the mission for their members, because mm-hmm. I think there aren't a lot of companies that really get that, and Jack's firm certainly does. So for us, it was a perfect kind of Symmetry. Obviously, on their side, the focus on the managed services and the consulting and making sure that they're bringing the right partners to bear, which we're excited to always hear that, that we're the right partner. And then on our side, it's always really difficult to find partners who understand that the credit union space and the financial services space and understand how to talk and you know, really what the when they say, what are we doing for our members, understanding how to actually deliver that. And so Jack really got that out of the gates, and it was exciting for us as well. So I think it was really the marriage of the services component and then the infrastructure component for us that made this partnership really work just so incredibly well.
Indeed. And Jack, I'm going to cut to the chase. I mean, what pain points or what are you answering for credit unions through working with DataCan? Are you guys working together? What are you trying to answer for credit unions here? What do they need that...
Well, really, it's a few things, right? It's compliance. So part of it is compliance, but part of it's really making sure that your infrastructure is safe, secure, and in a place where you don't have power outages, you don't have your connectivity, you have multiple paths out. And what I mean by that is a lot of credit unions, and I want to be very careful with how I say this, but sometimes only have a single point of failure. What I mean by that is maybe they're running one pipe or one internet connection outside of their data center from their current location or their headquarters, really. I mean, in most cases, or a branch. That's not a great idea. One, you need multiple paths out. And so a lot of times we're trying to tell them you need a data center with multiple carriers so that if a path fails, and you need to have multiple carriers, so if a path fails, you're still up, you're not down. And we do a lot of SD-WAN deployments for credit unions, and I don't want to get into that technology, but that also helps along those lines. But you need to be in a safe, secure place with your infrastructure, and that is what the value is here. And you need to do it at a cost-effective price. I mean, I'll give you a great example, and I love to use Lone Star because I could pick on them because we do so much for them. But like their right now, their DR data center is here in Houston. Even though they're in Dallas, right? And this is really funny. Actually, I would say their production environment's here in Houston. Their DR is in a branch because we felt like that wasn't as safe to be, their branch isn't as safe. So we wanted that to be, well, if a production doesn't ever go down, right? And that's the point of putting it in a data center. But your DR, I mean, it can be in your branch if you want it. Well, we're actually moving that out to another data center in Dallas as well.
Oh, wow.
So now they'll be in two different data centers.
Okay.
And we're going to make that their production environment because it's in Dallas. It's closer to the branch. There's a few reasons why to do that. And we'll transfer this older equipment into DR. But they did that over a five-year strategy roadmap. So they knew what the cost was. They didn't have to buy any new infrastructure for 4 years. I mean, this was a path that we took them down. And data canopy tends to play a role in that path when we're making those transitions with credit unions. And so that's a great value play. Becky knew that she could sit on her budget for 4 years. She knew exactly when she was going to have to reinvest in data center space. We had a path forward to make those moves. And that's the value. I mean, it really is. She now feels like her stuff is way more secure. I mean, if a storm hits Dallas, she's not going down.
Right.
There's extra. Those data centers have fuel for days. I mean, 4 days, right? That's what they're made for. The branch doesn't. Name one branch, credit union branch, that's got fuel on standby for their data center. You can't, because it doesn't exist.
Right.
And that's why you do this. It's for the inevitable, but it's also for production. At this day and age, you just can't go down. You can't afford to go down.
So is this strictly disaster recovery, or is it cloud migration?
No.
Or what is it?
It's cloud migration. Okay. It's all the above. I mean, that's the beauty of their solution, and any solution like this, I mean, really is, it's both. Nowadays, you don't have to spend the money. It's like, and I know we've talked about this before, you don't have to spend the money on the infrastructure twice anymore for disaster recovery. You can actually spend it once and split the load between two data centers, right? So that now, and then there's replication. I mean, there's Zerto, there's all these different things. I don't want to get into all the technology, but there's these things you can do now to where your data kind of just lives here in the cloud and goes to the path of least resistance. It's an application delivery model, right? For lack of a better term. And so if this data center goes down, everything's over here.
Right.
If this data, but it's not DR because it doesn't know where it's active. It's actually in both places at the same time. Mm-hmm. And you're copying to both.
Right.
So that if one goes down, one can spin right back up. And so, yes, it's disaster recovery, but it's not. It's actually production.
Right.
It's really a way to scale a lot cheaper than the traditional way.
Yeah, and Ryan, I was going to get your perspective on this as well, because you guys have been working with credit unions for, like you said, a couple decades now. So this stuff has really changed, and it's really evolving, and it's really benefits the credit unions right now. From your perspective, the benefit message here for credit unions is?
Risk aversion. And what's actually really interesting, and I think Jack was starting to really kind of touch on it, is one of the things that's always been so incredibly unique to credit unions in my mind is they are probably one of the most risk-averse groups in terms of the way that they think about themselves, their technology, and all of that really has to do with their mission and how they're really taking a look at where they're going to deliver value, right? Mm-hmm. And one of the big conversations that we're having now and the current, obviously, you know, macro situation that's going on globally, right, with COVID, as Jack was talking about, with whether it be hurricanes or ice storms or tornadoes, whatever the case might be, is the mindset has really changed from risk aversion being exactly what Jack was saying, which is that we're going to put all of our infrastructure in one location inside of a safe, to understanding that risk aversion really is about distribution of network. And it's been a mindset change from a standpoint of where we were 10 years ago to today, where 10 years ago, you couldn't have a conversation about moving things offsite or having people reach something somewhere else. It's funny because I have a story very similar to the one that Jack was talking about, where we did a lot of work with a credit union actually in New Orleans that was absolutely convinced that they had done everything that they could to make themselves more secure. And as we all know, in the Gulf region, hurricanes are always a risk. Yep. They were hit by a bunch of storms. There was a lot of flooding. The credit union was fine, but the network in the area was taken down for 10 days, right? And so it was one of those things where, yeah, they had a really great data center, but they built it in a building. They had no replication. Oh. People couldn't reach it. You know, their members were effectively unable to get services from the credit union for weeks. And so when they took a step back and said, well, how do we you know, eliminate that? The one simple thing that they did was start to do exactly what Jack was talking about, which was to put their network and their infrastructure outside of the four walls of the building. And now for them, it doesn't matter what happens where, because they're going to be up and running. So we really talk about it at its most basic level, which is, you know, the cloud has become kind of this nebulous or data center, this nebulous thing. And these are buildings that exist somewhere else. And we really just talk about it as, hey, look, you know, this is, if you really want to be risk averse, if you really want to be compliant, if you really want to make life 1,000 times easier and be able to service, you know, the members the way that you're talking about, it is just all about being in the cloud, being in a data center, and taking that component out of it. And Jack was really, again, not to dive too much because I could get really geeky here, but Jack was really talking about it very specifically. You know, you layer that in with the right type of phone system and the right type of SD-WAN or fiber connectivity, and you lay that whole plan together, and you become an organization that can really start to brag about 100% uptime availability and always being available for the people that matter most. And that's how we talk about it, and where the conversation has really shifted over the last few years.
Well, and I'm thinking about hardware costs too. My gosh, I mean, that just really, I don't want to say it eliminates it, but my gosh, the hardware costs, the reduction is going to be tremendous. Jack, I see you shaking your head here.
We did one of these for a credit union here in Houston, and I mean, they spent a lot on hardware. Don't get me wrong, because they had to do a full hardware refresh. Sure. But if they would have done it the traditional legacy way, they would have spent two times as much. And our point to them was, you don't have to spend two times as much to get two times the value, to have the things that you want and need to get to that 100% resiliency. And we did that with data, and that was actually that particular client we did with Data Canopy, the data center space we're using in Austin is Data Canopy. That's an actual client where we work together for their solution. Mm-hmm. I mean, specifically. So yes, I mean, you see it all the time. And I think that's the case. You've got to spend all this capital on these capital assets, but if you can lower that cost a little bit and stretch it for longer, that's mm-hmm. the other thing we try to do when we design these, is we try to say, look, let's give you enough capacity and everything that you need so that you literally don't have to think about hardware at all.
Right.
For 3 to 5 years, and your cost is sunk. So now, and as you know, credit unions, and it's a little different. You know, I came from the enterprise space 5 years ago. And there, everybody wants their cost all in operational. They all want it to be operational. If you can move it to operational, they're happy. Well, credit unions tend to be a little bit different. They don't mind the capital outlay because they have to control operational costs so tightly. So it's a completely different buying mechanism and model. And so when you understand that and you know how a credit union buys and does what they do with their money, it makes it much simpler to architect the right strategy and solution for them. And this is just a piece of that.
Yeah.
This helps them mitigate some of those costs. So it's, I mean, I think it's tremendously valuable to them in a multitude of ways.
Oh, no doubt. No doubt. And Ryan, is there an efficiency message here as well? Cause I'm thinking, gosh, this has got to be so, the efficiency has got to be so much, I don't want to say so much greater, but there's got to be some enhancements to the efficiency as well of this process.
Yeah, and you're 100% correct. It really is, and we really try. It's almost sometimes becomes the conversation is really about the efficiency, and not just in terms of the hardware, in terms of how your personnel is dealing with things, terms of how people are interfacing with the systems that you have in place. You know, Jack was touching on something that I think is really important, which is, you know, our job 24 hours a day, 7 days a week is to think about either the IT components or the infrastructure components of this world. I read way too many periodicals that involve cloud efficiency, optimization, you know, all sorts of really cool technologies that we can talk about. The role of a CIO or a CTO at a credit union is to do that, but then also to manage the 5,000 other things that they're required to manage to make sure that the lights are staying on for the people that matter most. You know, what I always say is somebody else's front office is your back office, right? And so where we really come in terms of the efficiency is laying out, as Jack was talking about, a very clear strategy that allows them to really truly focus on the things that matter. And that means a lot of times, as Jack was talking about, taking the cost savings from looking out at a data center or a cloud strategy and reapportioning that to things like better application development to make user interfaces better for member experience, potentially hiring that person that you weren't thinking about hiring on the IT side to take a look at things more holistically. I could go on and on and on, right? I mean, there's all of these areas where what we're also trying to do is say, hey, you know, this has a time savings for your staff. This has a cost savings for your organization that can be put back into other areas. And this has an immediate benefit in terms of your resiliency and your redundancy. And I think when you really paint that whole picture, you're really having a discussion about the business, and it's not just about the technology. And I really think that that's really what Jack and I both, when we talked about why this partnership works, that's how we see it, right? Is that these are business discussions. Technology should make your organization better. And if you're not talking about how that does that, then you're really kind of missing the point. And especially with credit unions, where that is such a key part of what they're looking at on a daily basis is how do we do things better? So probably a little bit long-winded when you're talking about efficiency, but I really think that question kind of hits at the core of what matters, not just for credit unions, but should matter for everybody, but specifically with credit unions. It is just absolutely critical that you're talking about the benefits at a top level all the way to the bottom level type of approach.
Mm-hmm. And that kind of brings me one of my last questions here. What are the goals here, Jack? What do you guys want to achieve here? Because credit unions, they're all about, they want to be, you go to any conference, well, when we went to conferences, but the main talk was, hey, we want to be relevant, you know? And so I think to me, listening to you guys, this really helps credit unions be relevant because it allows them to do so many other things. So Jack, having said that, what are some goals that you guys want to achieve with this partnership here?
Wow. So it goes back to the thing that we are about, Mike. I mean, ultimately, you know, we are here to transform credit unions. And when I say transform them, it's funny. I was in the next big idea thing that we talked about on our last time together this past week. And I got to see all these really cool software companies that were in the next big idea. And it was great because I'm in competition with them, but I think they're awesome, right? So I'm sitting here watching them. I mean, I'm not in competition with them every day. I was that one particular day. And I'm sitting here listening to all of them, and all I kept thinking about, and I actually said it in my presentation, was these guys are fintechs, but what we do and what our goal is to make credit unions fintechs. Yeah. And so that's why we exist, right? That's the whole reason Pure IT exists. And that's why we find partners like Data Canopy that help us along that mission. So we're trying to get credit unions to become the fintechs that everybody wants to use, right? And that's the goal of Pure IT. That's why we exist as a company. So when we find great partners like Data Canopy that can help us in that evolution to help them make that transformation, that's exactly what we're looking for. So that's my goal. I mean, our goal, and I think that's what Data Canopy's goal in partnering with us is, it's to help them along that road. I mean, big banks are there, you know, big banks are there. You've got Amazon trying to get in the space. You've got Walmart talking about trying to get in the space. You've got all these people trying to get into banking. Right. And so the fastest path is to make credit unions the fintechs, because they already are the best at the member relationship side.
Right.
They already own the relationship. So if you can get them technology there, they'll dominate these other players because they know how to do it better than anybody else.
Yeah.
So.
Well said. Well said. Ryan, what are some, from your perspective, what are some goals that you guys want to achieve with this partnership?
No, I want to get asked first next time because Jack's stealing all my money. You nailed it. I mean, I think everything that you said is spot on. You know, my mission when I started Data Canopy was really that I had a belief that people try to make technology unapproachable because they try to build a value through fear. And what I mean by that is, you know, if you think that something is incredibly complex, then it must have a value, right? Like it's, oh my God, this thing is so hard, then it has some value. And so where I think Jack and I have really aligned in terms of the partnership is, I do not believe that on any level. I have conversations every day about how technology can make organizations of any size better. And, you know, there is a belief that you have to be a Bank of America or a Capital One or some massive banking organization to have the funds, the resources, and the expertise to leverage these technologies. And there is no difference between a cloud instance for Bank of America than there is for a cloud instance of a small single location credit union somewhere in America. Mm-hmm. And where I think this conversation is really important is to demystify that for people. And if there's anything that we can do in terms of this partnership, it's to really help people to understand that this technology is available to them. It can make their workday better. It makes the experience for the members better. It makes the organizations better. And I am not evangelical about a lot, but I am evangelical about the fact that technology should make everybody's life better in that way. And I think what I would love to get out of this partnership, and Jack and I have talked about this, is I would really love to disrupt what is a way of thinking about technology as some sort of either albatross or mountain that's too high to climb, and really have people start thinking about it as a way to make their organizations better. And Jack and I have had conversations in and around bringing it, you know, in a way that people really get it. And as he said, you know, when you can start buying it on the shelf at Walmart, you know, maybe that's the time to get in. But, you know, all kidding aside, I agree with what he said. This is about making that little corner of the world a little bit better and making that a space that can improve dramatically in the next few years.
Yeah, sure sounds like it. You guys are well
on your way.
Hey, Mike,
real quick, one term that I wanted to throw out there that he totally reminded me of. So there used to be, when I was young, when IBM was the IT company back in the 80s and the 90s, there was this thing called FUD that they used to do.
Yeah.
And it was called fear, uncertainty, and doubt. And it was a sales technique. They knew that if they came in and talked to you about technology and they created fear, uncertainty, and doubt, you would buy from them.
Mm-hmm.
And so to his point about demystifying technology, that's a great comment, Ryan, is that, you know, I remember the days of FUD. I remember the days of people coming in and, well, we bought IBM. Why'd you buy IBM? Because it's IBM and nobody gets fired for buying IBM. But they didn't know why they bought it. Wow. They didn't really have a value to it. It was just, nobody gets fired for buying IBM. I don't know what it does. But, and so we're here to take those days and make them go away. And it's the same thing with cores. It's the same thing with ancillary software products. It's the same thing with everything. So anyway, I had to throw that in there.
No, that's great. Yeah. That's a great, great addition there. All right, guys. Well, anything else to add? Ryan, anything else to add since Jack threw in the FUD?
No, you know, it's funny because FUD was actually one of the first things that I learned about as well. I learned about it with Cisco, not IBM, but they're the new IBM, right? Nobody yeah. gets fired for buying Cisco. And the reality is there's a lot of great products out there, but, you know, I always tell everybody, technology is one of the few things that when you're buying it, the iPhone for the CEO of Apple is no different than the iPhone that I use today. And, you know, as soon as you kind of get that concept in your head, the world kind of opens up, and especially with the right partners, because it's like, oh, yeah, you're right. It is no different. So how do we leverage it the way that they leverage it? Exactly. And, you know, I think once you get to that, all of the FUD starts to disappear. And that's a dangerous place for those companies, because all of a sudden the playing field is level, and that's what matters the most, is getting people to that same level.
You took the words right out of my mouth, leveling the playing field. This does it for everybody. Oh my gosh. All right, guys. Well, I'm going to let you get back to work because you guys have lots of things to do. So I'm not going to hold you back from doing that. So I appreciate your time. Keep up the good work. Okay. This is really great stuff. Really great stuff for the industry as well. So well done.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having me.
Thanks, Mike.
You're very welcome, guys.